Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak and Shalom. We're now in Masachet Baba Batra, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Bet, beginning the second podcast in our study of the ninth parak of Masachet Baba Batra, continuing with the case of somebody who promises a gift to an unborn child. There's a fellow who said to his wife, "Nechasai lahay dema abart. My nechasim will go to the one with whom you're pregnant now." In other words, she's pregnant. Whoever that child is will get this. Amar Ravuna ve mezaka leubar. Ravuna says this is a case of mezaka leubar, meaning giving something to a fetus. Mezaka leubar lo kana, it doesn't work. Eitav Rav Nachman, Ravuna, Rav Nachman challenged him from our Mishnah. Ha'omer im yalda ishti zachari tol maneh, yalda zachar no tol maneh. And the same thing that it came out, which means that we assume the wife is pregnant, and then he says, if that's a boy, he'll get 100, which means he's mezaka leubar. Ha'merlei mishnatenu eini yodeh mishnat. So Ravuna said, I don't know who the author of our Mishnah is. I know that's not the halacha. I don't know who the author of our Mishnah is. V'lei malei Rav Meir, why didn't Ravuna just say our Mishnah is Rav Meir, da'amar adam makan dova shalo bala olam? The answer is Emor Shamat Le Rameir Ledover Sheishna Baolam. Rameir says you can bequeath something that does not yet exist, like a fruit of a tree when only the tree exists. But that's only when the recipient exists. Rameir said nothing about non-existent recipients. Ledover Sheishna Baolam Mishamat Le. So Valei Malei Rabbi Yossi. Why didn't Ravuna say our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi? The Amar Ubar Kani, that an Ubar really does make a Kenyan. Ditnan, the Mishnah in Yevamot says, Ubar posel v'eno machil, divu Rabbi Yossi. So, just for a little background, if a bat kohen marries a non-kohen, he cannot eat truma. If that husband either dies or divorces her, and she can come back to eat truma, but only if she has no children with him. Let's say that she's pregnant, then she cannot eat truma. Posel. Eino machil, if she's a bat Yisrael, married to a Kohen, and the Kohen dies, and she's pregnant until that baby is born, she can't eat truma, but he is posel. So Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that an ubar really counts as a person in that sense. The answer is Shani Yerusha ba me'leha. That's a different story because that is something that is automatic. In other words, a child being born, and therefore, midin Yerusha, that's an automatic thing. Rabbi Yossi will say this child is as if in existence, but to go out of your way and make an unexpected kinyan to a baby who's not around, shouldn't work. V'leim Rabbi Yochanan Brukahi, why doesn't he invoke Rabbi Yochanan Brukah, the star of the last parak? The Amar lo shtan Yerusha v'lo shtan matana, because Rabbi Yochanan Brukah says not only, remember we made this determination, not only can you direct all of your Yerusha to one of the kids, you can even direct it all as a matana. So the answer is Emor Shamat Leidu Rabbi Yochanan Brukah L'Dover Sheishna Ba'Olam. Rabbi Yochanan Brukah, we only know, says you could do that to a person who's alive. L'Dover Sheishna Ba'Olam Mi'Amar. Who says that he says you could do it to a non-existent child? V'Leimel Rabbi Yochanan Brukah Yivasar V'Lak Rabbi Yossi. So why don't you put the two of them together? Say our Mishnah's author Rabbi Yochanan Brukah, and he holds like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to the status of an Ubar. The answer is Mi'Emor Savrala. Who says that he does hold like Rabbi Yossi? Why doesn't he say that our Mishnah is a case of Vasreni, which we had in the previous podcast, where he said, I'm giving the money not to the kid, but to the person who tells me what my wife had. At the end of the Mishnah, it said that if there's only that child, which said is a tumtum, then he gets everything. Even Vasreni, Yoreshma Avite. But if we're talking not about giving the gift to the born baby, but rather the gift to the guy who gives him the news, why are you going to give money, all of your Rusha, to a guy just because he told you what your wife had? Doesn't make any sense. V'lemalei b'shi'alda. So why don't we say that we're talking about a case where she already gave birth and you're committing to give this kid money? So, yachi, diktani seifim, amar komash teled ishti yitol, arezi yitol, kosh teled kol shi'alamin ba'alei. Remember at the end of the Mishnah when we wanted to include the tumtum, we said that if the fellow says, whatever my wife bears, we'll get it. It should be that he said, whatever my wife gave birth to, we'll get it. So that doesn't work. So why doesn't he say that the fellow said, I will give this money when the baby is born, which now means he's not being machnet now. He's just making a commitment to give money to a baby when the baby is born. So the answer is Ravuna l'tamedu, Ravuna af l'kshutele lo kana. Ravuna is of the opinion that mezakeh l'ubra doesn't work, even if part of the way you say it is, I'm giving it to him when he gives birth. The Amar Ravuna Achman, here we go, a mezakeh l'ubra lo kana. So he agrees with that, l'kshutele kana. So if you give it to the ubar now, it doesn't work. But if you give it to the ubar when, and say, when the ubar is born, then I'll give it to him, then it works. Ravuna says, since the formulation doesn't work, it doesn't work at all, even after she gives birth. Rav Sheshet takes the opposite position and says that it works even now. Mezakeh l'ubar kana. Now, Amar Rav Sheshet Menamin Allah, how do I know that mezakeh l'ubar works? Titanya, ger shemet. Remember, if a ger dies with no kids, whoever gets the property gets it. Ubiz bezu Yisrael nechasav. So a Jew came and took his stuff. Then they heard a rumor that the guy has a kid. O shaita ishtom uberet, that his wife was pregnant. Either way, there's an heir around. Now, the point is, ishtom uberet means that there's an ubar. Chayavim lachzir. At that point, they have to return the stuff to the wife and wait around to see who's being born. Hechziru akol, let's say they return everything. V'achakach shamu shemet b'no shipila ishto. And then they heard that that son that they heard was around died, or that the wife who was pregnant miscarried. Hechzik b'shniya kana. Then if he makes another kinyan on it, then it's good. V'arishona lo kana, but his first kinyan was no good. So v'isaka died. Why is that? Because this wife was pregnant, and so therefore everything the ger owned went to the ubar. When she miscarried, now you have to make another chazaka. But if she miscarried, you don't say that she never, that the ubar never really owned it, and therefore your original chazaka works, and therefore you have to make a new chazaka. So you see, a mezakeh l'ubar kana. V'isak adai tach ubar lo kani, lama lo achzuki b'shnia, achziku l'achad azimna. So Rav Sheshet has what seems like a pretty good proof that a mezakeh l'ubar kana. So Abaye Yerusha b'amei la'ashani. Abaye invokes what we just said, which is that a Yerusha comes on its own, for that an Ubar will work, which means this is an Ubar, his father Nebuch died, so since Yerusha is automatic, then you'll say the Ubar has possession. If the woman then miscarries and this Ubar is never born, then you have to make a new chazaka. But to go out of your way and give an unexpected gift, an unanticipated gift, and an uncommanded gift, or unhardwired gift, that you can't do to an Ubar, necessarily. Now, Rava gives a different explanation. Shani hatam durapuim apayim biyadayu mikara. That the original kinyan was kind of queasy. In other words, you come to somebody's property. Normally you can't do that. There's heirs. But he's a ger. There's no heirs. So you take possession, but you know what? You know, there might be a kid. So you're not, your original chazaka is not very strong. When you finally clarify that whatever kids might have been died or whatever fetuses around were miscarried, then you could take a proper chazaka. So my ben now, what's the difference between Abaye and Rava here? If they heard that the kid died, it turned out that he hadn't died, and then after they took chazaka, then he died. According to Abaye, it'll work. According to Rav, it'll work, because that chazaka, it was a good chazaka, because you were under the impression he was dead. According to Abaye, it won't work. All right, let's see. Toshma, tinok ben yom echad nochel umanchil. This is a bright in Masechet Tzmachot, and in other places, a child who's one day old is nochel umanchil, which means that he inherits and he can bequeath, even if he's only one day old. So ben yom echadin ubarlo, that goes against Rav Sheshet. It says you have to be alive to be nochel. So hamar Rav Sheshet, nochel v'nichse em l'anchil achim min ha'av. Rav Sheshet already explained that. What does it mean? It means that this kid is only yoresh once he's actually in the world, to inherit his mother's stuff, and then it would go to his paternal brothers. Remember, his paternal brothers have no relationship with his mother. They got a different mother. So he inherits his mother's stuff, and it goes to his paternal brothers. It could only happen once he's born. Once he's born, then he'll inherit his mother's stuff, and then if subsequently he's born, his mother dies, then he dies, it'll go to his paternal brothers. If he's an Ubar, none of that ever happened. Why does an Ubar not work with that? Because what are we talking about? We're talking about a case of getting it from your mother. Well, the mother dies and the Ubar dies. Typically, if that happens in childbirth, the Ubar dies first. And therefore, there was never a point at which mother died that he was alive as an Ubar that it then went. So he has to be alive. We saw the rule at the beginning of the eighth parak, that a child cannot inherit his mother's property to have it then transferred to his paternal brothers when he's dead. It can't go through him as a slot. He has to really be alive. And for the only way to have that is for him to be actually born, even if as an Uber you would get a Kenyan. So the Maimer, Dumayat Beresha, so you're telling me that always, in the case of a childbirth death, the child, the Ubar dies first. We had a case where a woman gave birth, she died, and the child spasmed, for 3 days had spasmodic movements. Alright, it's just like the tail of a lizard. You cut it off, the tail flops around for a little while, meaning the baby was dead. And baby always dies before mother dies when there's a case like that. The fact that this baby happened to continue having movements, those are involuntary movements that have nothing to do with this. Marvel Rey Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rav Amar. He quoted Rav as saying, Lomar Shemait Bachelik Bachora. He says, you know what Tinok Nochel Umanchel means? What it means is you have to be alive in order to eat into the Chelik Bechora. This is something we saw earlier in the 8th Perek, that in order to eat into the Chelik Bechora, you have to have actually lived and alive, not been Nubar. V'dafka ben Yom Echad. All right, remember we said it in the context of a Tumtum. V'dafka ben Yom Echad. You have to be alive. Aval Ubar lo. An Ubar does not eat into that, which means that let's say father dies and leaves mother pregnant, and there's a Bechor and two other kids, and leaves mother pregnant, and his wife pregnant, and then she gives birth. The Chelek Bechora is figured by dividing the property into four parts. The Bechor gets two, and the other brothers each get one. And then, when this baby is born, they redivide, but they don't touch the Chelek Bechora. That is not affected by this Ubar. You have to be alive for that. And that's what Tinok Nochel Manchel means. My Taima, V'yaldulo aramarachmana. The Torah says if it's really v'yaldalo, v'yaldulo vanim. Sorry, the amar marbered Rashi mishmei derava ben shenolad. The amar marbered Rava Yosef mishmei derava ben shenolad lachamit atavim enu ma'id chelik b'chora. Right, so that a child who's born after father died does not eat into the chelik b'chora. My tama v'yaldulo aramana v'zeh v'haleika, meaning this child, that all the children have to be born to him, meaning while he's alive, in order to configure the Bechor the way that you do. Now, Basura Mat Nuachi, that's how they learned the whole Sugi and Surah. But Pumbadita Mat Nuachi, and Pumbadita they learned it differently, quoting Mar Berei Durav Yosef Mishmei Durava again, Bechor Shnulad Lachar Mitat Aviv Eino Nota Pishnayim. This is a whole separate thing. Father dies, never had any kids, but his wife was pregnant. The wife gives birth to a boy, that's a Bechor. He doesn't take Pishnayim. Why? Of course, a little difficult what the Pishnayim would be since there's no other kids. Yakir Amarachmana V'haleita D'Yakir. Because the whole deen of a Bechor is somebody who is recognized by father, and father points him out. Remember, we saw that whole halacha. And therefore, there's no father around to be makir him, and therefore there's no deen of Bechor. By the way, this case could play out where, let's say, there are twins born, so father left wife pregnant, and she had twins, or he had, let's say, other wives and left them also pregnant, so they had kids afterwards. So when they configure the Yerusha, there is no Din of Bechor as far as Pishnaim goes, because father was not alive to recognize this child as his Bechor. And the halacha follows both of these halachot, that a ubar is not mamayit b'chelek b'chora, and a b'chor shnulad achar mitat aviv enonot pishnayim. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.